Happy Friday morning, Buckeye Nation. It's, of course, week three for Ohio State as they get ready to play Western Kentucky this weekend. But we're going to step aside from the current Ohio State Buckeyes for just a few minutes. Today's episode is back to building the Buckeyes. We're going to go back on the recruiting trail with our guy, John Garcia Jr., who's now over at Rivals, but still hot on the trail to tell you everything that you need to know about the class of 2024 for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So building the Buckeyes coming up next this Friday morning on Buckeye Breakdown.
We've got the whole crew together as we cover Ohio State with our instant analysis from Ohio State.
There's something that doesn't feel right.
Unbelievable effort from him today. Is EJ Liddell going to crack the first team all Big Ten?
I think he can be the guy. I'm not trying to start a quarterback controversy.
He seems to have the durability. He certainly has the toughness.
This is the question on a lot of people's minds here.
Welcome to Buckeye Breakdown.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Buckeye Breakdown, part of Buckeyes Now, the Sports Illustrated Media Group. Glad to have you here this morning as we are just over 24 hours away from Ohio State kicking off week three against Western Kentucky tomorrow afternoon in the Shoe. But we've got an episode of Building the Buckeyes today. We're really excited to have John Garcia Jr. back with us. John's been a frequent guest on the pod over the years, and it's great to have him back. John, what's going on, man?
Different backdrop, but same story. Excited to be on with you. Obviously, anytime we're talking Ohio State, we're talking about the best of the best in recruiting, and that's really where we like to spend most of our time, obviously.
For those of you that are watching live at home, that's cool, and we appreciate that. John referring to his new backdrop at Rivals. He's got a new business card these days, but he's still doing the same great work and still a great source of information, so we're glad to have him on. For all the latest news and info on Ohio State, you can certainly check out BuckeyesNow.com, and we'd appreciate it if you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We do content like this every single day. Want to give you all the latest on the Bucks. All right, John, I guess probably the guy to start with is Jeremiah Smith, only because he is he's probably at the top of this class in terms of overall interest. Obviously plays a position where it seems like it's become this wide receiver factory. He seems to be the next in line. What's the latest you're hearing or seeing with Jeremiah?
Well, first of all, the latest we're seeing is record numbers. I mean, he had a 300-yard game against an out-of-state team the other day, and it was just – the quintessential Jeremiah Smith show. It was like every route in the route tree was pressed and satisfied with the quarterback. I mean, he hit go routes. He worked well underneath at 6'3", 210 pounds. He was able to go down and get the football on the turf. He played the sideline game, just kind of the entire package on display last Friday for Chaminade Madonna, one of the top teams in high school football. And that's why everything he does has become such a lightning rod recruiting topic because, of course, longtime commitment to the Ohio State University and naturally every school closer to home trying to keep him there, whether you talk Miami, Florida, or Florida State. And I think what makes this so interesting is that Jeremiah, I guess, contrary to a lot of recruits, has kind of laid out this plan from the beginning. He said, look, I'm committed to Ohio State. If Brian Hartline is there and Ryan Day is there, I'm probably going to be there, like pretty much no matter what. But college football is crazy. The coaching carousel is crazy. If something does happen, I've got to do some due diligence. And he's certainly done that part. And he's basically gotten to the point now where it's I'm going to Ohio State or I'm going to stay in the state of Florida. So Miami, Florida, and Florida State all feel like they have some chance, whether it's a punter's chance or more, they feel increasingly confident that they've got, you know, something to play for with Jeremiah Smith. And when he's the number one skill player in the country, you've got to recruit him anyway. If you're Mario Cristobal, he's right in your backyard. If you're Billy Napier, he's a sign of this is going to help us turn things around. And if you're Mike Norvell, he's a sign of let's keep this thing rolling at Florida State. And Jeremiah has received those messages in a similar light. I think with Miami, it's personal. It's the local school. He's got some teammates committed there. At Florida, he's really close to DJ Lagway, the quarterback commitment headed to Gainesville. So I think that structure is something he likes. And obviously SEC football sells itself. And I think with Florida State, it's about, I can be the next. I can kind of maintain this trajectory that FSU is on. But none of that compares to Ohio State. He says it all the time. He's reiterated it, gosh, 100 times in the last 6 months, because every, you know, local site is asking about the other schools more so than Ohio State. And he's just like, look, it's first round you, it's wide receiver you. I want to be the next great one there at Ohio State. And you see him make visits to Columbus, and he's standing next to Marvin Harrison Jr. And he's like the same size, if not a little bigger. So you start to see how easy that transition might be for Jeremiah. So I think the ball is still very much in Ohio State's court. It's not over till it's over, until the carousel dust settles, all of that. But again, that's been laid out by Jeremiah from the beginning. And he'll be back in Columbus this weekend. So that's always good to reiterate and reaffirm that verbal commitment status. So fascinating recruitment, but an even better player and person. Very business-like approach from Jeremiah, which to me, it almost helps him double down on Ohio State. You know, he's a business-like kid. I want to go 3 years. I want to go in the first round. I want to do it this way strategically. And that's really the identity of Ohio State offensively over the last, gosh, it's becoming like almost the last decade at this point.
I don't want to put you too on the spot, but who does he remind you of? Especially if it could be a comp, you know, to one of Ohio State's previous receivers. Is it a Garrett Wilson type guy? Is it a Chris Olave type guy? I mean, go back as far as you'd like with Ohio State. Who does Jeremiah remind you of?
Yeah, I think physically when he lines up on the outside, you'll probably get more Michael Thomas vibes just from the height, the weight. Again, 6'3", 210. But I think once he actually gets going, you see the polish, the route construction. It's lofty, but it's going to push you a little bit more towards the Marvin Harrison conversation. I mean, he's got that type of juice. He's got that type of catch radius, body control, all of the things that make you strong in the margins, good to great, great to elite, whatever it is. He's got all of that in spades, and he's already physically about where he needs to be from a height and weight standpoint at the collegiate or even the pro level one day. You know, down here in South Florida, Julio Jones has been kind of the long-term comparison. And obviously, again, just like Marvin, that's incredibly lofty in any sense. But I get a little bit more Calvin Johnson with him. You know, there's one coach that I'm close with who competes against Jeremiah every year. And he says when he flips a switch, he turns into Megatron. He's got this edge and competitiveness about him that when you kind of you get into him a little bit, he goes harder and just works harder. And then it's really this unstoppable force. But obviously, you know, Marvin, Julio, Calvin, any of those names, even Michael Thomas, I think would satisfy Buckeye Nation and wherever, you know, a Sunday team begins to scout him at.
Not sure if you've had a chance to see Mylon Graham very much. Obviously, he's another extremely highly rated kid at wide receiver. And I almost wonder if he is underappreciated a little by Ohio State fans simply because he's in the shadow of what Jeremiah Smith is projected to be. How much should Mylon Graham, you know, be appreciated? Because it sure feels like Ohio State's got more than just one guy coming in that could be a huge, huge addition.
Right. And we've seen Ohio State work well with that, right? I mean, we talk about all these great groups that they've had just as much as we talk about the great individual performers. And look, I saw Mylon this summer at the Elite 11. He was catching passes for these great quarterbacks, including Aaron Nolan, the Buckeye commitment. And man, I was super impressed. Jeremiah was there as well. So the thought of them together just started, you know, making a lot of folks draw comparisons. Is this Wilson Olave? Is this Smith and Jigba and then someone else? I mean, Mylon in his own right, 6'1", 6'2", broad shoulders, kind of that basketball build, but he's got his own set of polish. I think he's twitchy, maybe a little twitchier than Jeremiah, but my main takeaway was his own level of polish from a route running and a hands perspective. He was there at every single step. So I think you're getting a couple of receivers, kind of like last cycle with Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and that group. You're getting a couple of guys who look the part from a height and weight standpoint, but in terms of the intricacies, they're right there as well. So it really is an embarrassment of riches, because in any other class in the country, Mylon Graham would be not only the positional headliner, but maybe the overall headliner for a recruiting class as a blue chipper, borderline five-star for us at Rivals.
John Garcia, Jr., our guest over at Rivals now and doing a great job on the national recruiting scene. John, you mentioned Aaron Nolan's name, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of talk around Ohio State fanhood right now around quarterback because finally Ryan Day has named Kyle McCord the guy. You know, the competition with Devin Brown leaked into the season, and that was a little frustrating because it wasn't that both guys were playing at such an elite level that it forced the coaches to extend it. It was both guys had lacked a little consistency, shown some flashes of really good play. And that's not necessarily what Ohio State fans are used to seeing. Personally, I'm really not that worried about Ohio State at quarterback. I think Kyle McCord's going to be really, really good. I'm far more concerned about Ohio State's offensive line production right now. But quarterback's what a lot of folks want to talk about, and Aaron Nolan seems to be one of the next guys in line here. What's the latest going on with Aaron?
Look, Aaron is a huge stock-up recruit for us. We mentioned the Elite 11 where Aaron was spinning it against the other great and elite quarterbacks in this class. And in every workout, in every competition setting, in every we got to make you feel uncomfortable type of scenario, he looked comfortable. He looked like he belonged with just about any of those throwers, whether you talk Dylan Raiola, whether you talk Julian Sand, any of the great players in this class, Aaron belonged. And there's just this, there's this calm with him. He's not the rah-rah guy. He's not going to, you know, do the trick shot, jump pass, and make you go, oh, my goodness. But when it comes to accuracy, decision-making, timing, anticipation, the mechanics of delivering the football, it's consistent and it's elite every single time. So he's a lefty, and I think that's going to be, you know, quite interesting to see going forward. But as the NFL and college ball showing us to a Tagovailoa, Michael Penix at the collegiate level, the lefties are making a comeback in this quarterback conversation. So I think Aaron Nolan is one of the best we've scouted. Naturally, I go back to Tua in high school because he's really the only elite lefty that I remember scouting. And I think Tua was known for, you know, more of the intermediate game, kind of what he's known for now, the intermediate game and that quick release and the quick processing. I think Air has that on a bigger build, 6'2", over 200 pounds, but he's just as quick with that release and just as smooth with it. You almost forget he's a lefty, which is, to me, a huge compliment to Aaron Nolan's game. And look, where it counts most in the evaluation game Friday nights, he's a beast. I know a lot of Buckeye fans saw him open up his senior season on ESPN with a big win and in a late game throw against the grain to win against Carrollton High School. But go to last year. I mean, you're talking state championship, 15-0, over 4,000 yards, nearly 60 touchdowns. I mean, he is as productive as any quarterback that has gone to Ohio State. And he's playing in Atlanta. I mean, he's playing truly elite competition. So I know, I guess perception says, well, you had Dylan Raiola and now you pivoted to Aaron Nolan because Raiola defected. But again, head-to-head, they belong right next to each other. And in some cases, Aaron Nolan looked more consistent, more accurate, more comfortable than Dylan Raiola, though Dylan has a bit of a bigger arm and obviously more eyeballs and reputation around his game. So that'll be fascinating. I think we'll track both of these guys together the rest of the way. But Aaron Nolan's going to come in and try to shake things up at Ohio State. And he's got this demeanor and calm about him, a maturity, if you will, that I think is going to allow him to contend as an underclassman.
Glad you brought up Dylan's name. There's a lot of people, too, right now talking about Quinn Ewers because Quinn's playing out of his mind really, really well. And obviously Texas beats Alabama. That has created some shockwaves around the sport. And I think the combination of, you know, Dylan backs out of a commitment and Quinn comes and then leaves, combined with where Ohio State entered the season here, not publicly sure, is it Kyle, is it Devin? How big of a deal when you get – you know, you don't live in Columbus. I know you're obviously really familiar with what's going on here and with a lot of these big recruits around the country, but you have the perspective of being able to take off the scarlet and gray glasses here. How big of a deal was it that Dylan backed out of his commitment? And is there any national concern about Ohio State with two quarterbacks like that in fairly short order saying, hey, I'm coming to Ohio State. One of them actually shows up, and then now two have gone, you know what? This isn't the place for me.
I think in one hand, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, every school deals with quarterback transfers and or, you know, quarterback decommits, whether you go to the other schools you mentioned. You go to Texas, you go to Alabama, even the USCs of the world, Lincoln Riley, have all dealt with quarterback defections in one way, shape, or form. So I do think that's part of the current status of quarterbacking at the collegiate level. You want to be the guy. And when you consistently bring in elite guys, obviously, I mean, look at the Joe Burrow situation. Obviously, you can only pick one starter, you know, and that kind of worked out for everybody at that time, right? So I think that's a part of the quarterbacking game in general and the business of it. But on the other hand, I remember when Raiola decommitted, I made some calls. Hey, did something happen? Was there anything like that he didn't like about Ohio State? Did somebody rub him the wrong way? You know, this is a kid with NFL bloodlines. He's got resources. He's lived all over the country. Did something happen here from Ohio State standpoint? I got unanimous no's with that. I got more. Ohio State was just as surprised as everybody else. You know, mm-hmm. So I think this was a little bit more Dylan Raiola led than Ohio State led in terms of that departure. With Quinn, look, Texas kid. He skipped a year of high school. He really threw his own wrench into the end of his high school career, and it forced him to make some decisions that he thought were going to be best for him long term, and it didn't turn out to be the case. So I think that was a more unique situation than a Dylan Raiola. But I don't think the perception of Ohio State quarterback, you know, room building, if you will, I don't think that has taken a hit. I mean, look, you just had a kid go number two in the draft or whatever it was.
Yeah, sure.
CJ Stroud, and he's starting as a rookie in the NFL. So I don't think in that little time you could take a big enough perceptional hit to where high school quarterbacks now say that Ohio State offer doesn't mean as much as it used to. We're very far from that. I think it's a little bit more coincidental from a timing perspective of Quinn leaving and obviously this back and forth between McCord and Brown. But I think all that dust is going to settle now, and Aaron Olin coming in as a five-star guy on Rivals.com, all of that is going to resettle that part of the conversation. And like you said, McCord's probably going to figure it out and probably have a pretty big year 23.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because sometimes perception is reality, and I don't think anybody at Ohio State is willing to actually think and say out loud that they don't believe in Ryan Day's ability to develop a quarterback. That's just ridiculous. His track record is, I think, better than anybody else's in the last decade. But when you get outside of Columbus, I just wonder if that was always the case from a perception standpoint. Is there anybody in the 2024 class that you really like that maybe hasn't gotten enough pub?
That's a great question. Look, I really like this entire group. We know about the highest rated guys, you know, the Edrick Houstons of the world, certainly the corners, the in-state corners that Ohio State's brought in. I like this running back group. It's a group of three very different style running backs with Peoples and those guys. And I think there's some sleepers within that group. Sam Dixon, the in-stater, was one I was pretty close to during my time at Sports Illustrated. And we actually did his commitment together. Man, you pop on the film on that kid. He's running it. He's catching it. He's playing quarterback. He's playing special teams. He's playing defense. This is a football player. So you just kind of wonder when he settles and is able to just get in that running back room and dive into that exclusively, how that may turn out for him just from a growth standpoint. And physically, 6'2", 210, he's a big physical back already. So I kind of root for those type of players that are just great high school players, and then they get to go to college and focus on one position, and then they get to really take the next steps. And we know running back is one of those where it's not always the highest rated guy that comes in and does the best. Sometimes it's that next group. And I think Dixon could be a nice sleeper for this class. But there really aren't a whole lot of sleepers. You know, Ohio State's got the number two class in the country. And if you go pound for pound, so average star rating, Ohio State's got the number one class in the country over the Georgia Bulldogs. So there's not a whole lot of two and three star types in this class. Another kind of confirmation of hey, this this Buckeye train is still going to roll. There's just some on-field questions and kinks to figure out at the beginning of the season. So it's a great group with stars across the board. I think they address the secondary incredibly well. Obviously, running back and offensive lines got great volume. Jordan Lyles, a guy down here that we really like at Rivals, a guy who's ascending every single time that we see him. And then, yeah, when it comes to skill position on offense, you know Ohio State is going to reload, and that's exactly what this class looks like.
Can't wait to see how these guys all shake out when they get to Columbus here in the next sometimes 5 months for guys or 6 months that our guys are going to early enroll, and then certainly next summer for the remainder of the group. John, where can we find your work?
Real simple, rivals.com. Check us out there. We're on the road. It's football season at every level. And we get to talk about it all the way up to the league. So check us out, rivals.com.
Of course, John's Twitter handle is shared on the bottom of the screen. But if you're listening after the fact, it's at @JohnGarcia_Jr. John, appreciate it, man. Really look forward to checking in with you here more regularly, especially as we're in the heart of the season. And keep up the great work. We miss you, but we're glad to have you still around here a little in little ways.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. All the latest news and information on Ohio State football is over on BuckeyesNow.com. Can't wait for kickoff tomorrow. We got plenty of coverage coming all weekend long, so lock it in right here on our YouTube channel. We'll have certainly have our pregame hit from the stadium, but we'll do our live postgame show from Ohio Stadium as well. We'll have Ryan Day's press conference postgame, where I imagine we'll hear from a couple of players at the podium as well, and we'll break down everything you want to know about Ohio State, hopefully beating up Western Kentucky down in Columbus. For John Garcia Jr., I'm Brendan Gulick. We'll see you tomorrow in Columbus. Thanks for listening to Building the Buckeyes.